This week is Parshas Vayeshev Shabbos Mevorchim Mevorchim Chodesh Teves. So beginning, it's also Shabbos that's Kemat Erev Chanukah, right? It's Kemat Erev Chanukah, Erev Chanukah. So a lot of things going on in this week, a lot of things going on this week. Parshas Vayeshev, the Mefarshim tell us, is one of the most, it's one of the most difficult parshios to comprehend. What do we mean? All of the events that take place in this week's parasha are really beyond comprehension. What in the world was Yosef thinking when he tells his brothers, "I had a dream. Guess what? You were all bowing down to me. I mean, try this at home." It's not going to go off well when one brother tells us, 17-year-old brother tells all of the brothers, "I'm the king, I'm the melech. I demand that you all bow down." What was he thinking? First the dream that they were all in the fields, and then all the stars, my mother bowed down to me, my father bowed down to me. It's really beyond comprehension. It's beyond comprehension that they would sell their brother. Who would do something like this, to decide to throw him into a pit of scorpions and snakes to sell their brother? It's beyond comprehension. Yehuda gets, he runs away, he marries an Ish Kenani, and he has three children. He takes for his first son Tamar, and his son dies, the second son dies. Why did the first son die? Kilo, because they did not want to have children. The whole thing is very bizarre. And then Yehuda sends away Tamar, his daughter-in-law, to prevent her from marrying his third son. And then he goes and he thinks that she's a zona, and he lives with her. It's beyond comprehension. We're dealing over here with the Shiftei Kosh, a Shiftei Kosh Yehuda, the leaders of the Shvatim, is going to have dealings with a zona. It's beyond comprehension. And then Yosef is a slave, and Yosef, he rises, he's a Ashes Potiphar, he runs away, he's thrown into the dungeon, they make a bilbul, she says about him that he raped her, and so on and so forth. Every single thing in this parsha is beyond comprehension. And indeed, some of the commentators want to take note, and that is why the Rashbam, the grandson of Rashi, he left his Hakdama for Parshas Vayeshev. If you remember, a few weeks ago, we spoke about, not too long, 2 weeks ago, we spoke about the methodology of Rashi. We had a shiur discussing Rashi's approach to the study of Chumash. A book was published by Rabbi Zabad, I've got his name, the person who wrote the Sefer, What's Bothering Rashi. He published a little pamphlet, not a pamphlet, but a little contrast describing Banshek, describing the methodology of Rashi, and he quoted the Hakdama to Parshas Vayeshev. So here is the point that I saw in the Sefer, someone make this point. What is he writing in the Hakdama? He writes that he had a discussion with Rashi as to what is the purpose of his parish. And Rashi's parish, Rashi says over and over many different places, Loibasi Elo Lefarish. My goal in explaining Rat and Chumash is just to give you the Pshutoi Shel Mikra, to give you the simple interpretation. Sometimes the simple interpretation is explained best with a literal translation of the words, and sometimes the simple interpretation, an interpretation of the events, is best understood through a Medrash or Chazal, and Rashi will select from the Midrashim or from the little translation in order to give you a basic understanding of the Pesukim. And he went on to challenge his grandfather. Rashbam writes that many of your perushim don't always fit the Shul Mikra, and Rashi acknowledged, "You're right. It's not my perush and chumash is not perfect. And had I had more time, I would have written, I would have revised my commentary on Chamishei Chumshei Torah based upon new insights that constantly evolve and appear daily." That's the Hakdama. That's what the Rashbam, and the Rashbam goes on to say, "I'm going to give you a pshat on Chamishei Chumshei Torah that's even more pshat than Rashi, my grandfather." Why did the Rashbam wait 9 parashios to write this Hakdama to his interpretation? And the answer is, from all of the parashios in the Torah, Rashi has the greatest problem with Parshas Vayeshev. Because all of the parashas of the Torah, to some degree, we can understand the Pshut HaShel Mikra. You read the Psukim, translate the words, find the Medrash, it makes sense. There's what to understand. But when you approach the study of Parshas Vayeshev, the first thing you have to realize is, there really is no Pshat. The events that occur in this week's parasha are so off the charts, they're so difficult to comprehend. What was Yosef thinking by revealing the dreams to his brothers? What were the brothers thinking when they sold him as a slave in Egypt? What was Yehuda thinking when he decided to go to Azona? The difficulty in understanding the simple translation of the words of the events is so difficult. Even here is where Rashi is being put to a test. Rashi, you're coming over here to explain the Pesukim of Pshuta Shel Mikra. We have to say, until Rashi came along, there were different schools of thought. There were people who explained Chumash literally. They translated every word literally, and obviously they got into a lot of trouble, because if you translate every single possible Torah literally, a lot of things don't make sense. On the other hand, there were people that interpreted every single thing, nothing really happened in the Torah. Everything in the Torah is a mashal. Everything is just symbolic. Don't put a stumbling block in front of the blind man. Now we understand it doesn't necessarily mean to put a stumbling block. It means don't go cause a person who's blind in a certain area of law or hashkafa to cause them to make mistakes. So some people, Rashi was unique, and Rashi put together a unique blend. But the place where Rashi was challenged in his approach to the explanation of Chumash is specifically Parshas Vayeshev, because every single thing in Parshas Vayeshev is extremely difficult to comprehend on our level, and that's why the Rashbam felt here is the proper place for me to reveal a conversation that I had with my grandfather Rashi. Rashi acknowledged to me that indeed there are things in Chumash which are very difficult to understand. We have no choice but to have Emuna Pshuta in HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and Rashi acknowledged that had he had more time, he would have written a revised commentary on Chumash, on Chamishei Chumshei Torah. Yeah? Okay, now let's go to some ideas. First thing idea I will mention over here, we know that one of the animamins is the belief in Techias HaMeisim. There are 13 animamins. The 13th of the animamins is animamim l'shem shi'atiyah shi'atiyah t'chiyas ha'meisim v'eish shi'ya l'rotzoy me'eis ha'boreh yisprach shmo v'yale zichroinu la'ad ulil mi'olamim. T'chiyas ha'meisim. Chazal tell us they find sources throughout Chamish Eichum Shei Torah that there will be t'chiyas ha'meisim. Different sources. But it's a lesson we learn in this week's parsha that's unique. Not only do we believe there will be Tchiyas HaMeisim, we learn from Yaakov Avinu the Inyan to yearn for Tchiyas HaMeisim. Just like we have in Animamim, Achakala B'chol Yom Sheyava, we yearn for the coming of Mashiach. The coming of Mashiach doesn't mean Tchiyas HaMeisim. Mashiach will come, and at some point in time later, whenever it will be, there will be Tchiyas HaMeisim. But we learn from this week's parasha the Inyan. It's part of our DNA to yearn for Techias HaMeisim. Where do we see that? Yosef comes to his father and says, the 11 stars bow down to me, plus the sun and the moon. Yaakov Avinu says, can it possibly be that the sun, obviously the 11 stars are the Shvatim, and the sun is me, the moon is your mother, but your mother died. If your mother died, it's impossible for your mother to bow down to you. She's no longer among the living. And Rashi comments, Yaakov Avinu made a mistake. He did not realize that the moon refers to Bilha, because Bilha raised Yaakov as a child, Yosef as a child. So when it means that the 11th, that the sun and the moon will bow down, it means later on, when they will come down to Mitzrayim, Yaakov will bow down, and his mother Bilha, the one that raised him, will also bow down. But Yaakov Avinu did not know, it was not revealed to him, this interpretation, and therefore Yaakov Avinu said to Yosef, what are you saying, nonsense? It's impossible. And we assume that maybe what it means is, we know that every single dream has Dvar B'Telim. There's no such a thing as a dream that's pure. Every single dream has things which are nonsense. So maybe this element of the moon referring to his mother was not That was part of the Dvar Metelim, that was part of every part of the dream. However, the pasuk includes the Aviv, the last words of the first Aliyah, the Aviv Shamar Es HaDavar. And Rashi tells us, what does it mean, Shafar? He was Mitzape Masayava. Shamar doesn't just mean to God, it means to yearn, to yearn. Achakela, b'chol yom sheyavoy, when will this come true? And what does it mean? What is the big picture? What does it mean according to where we put connect the dots together? What does it then mean? If Yaakov Avinu thought that it must refer to Rachel, to his wife, Rashi says, making it clear that he did not know that it refers to Bila, and yet I want the dream to come true. I want the entire dream to come true. The only way the dream will come true will be through Techiyas HaNesem. Rachel coming back to life, and then Rachel will bow down to Yosef. So we learn here from this pasuk that Yaakov Avinu didn't just believe in Techiyas HaNesem. The Aviv Shomar Es HaDavar, according to his interpretation, the moon is his mother Rachel, or his wife Rachel. The Shomar is Mitzapeh U'mechakeh. When will it come true, this dream? He is yearning for Techiyas HaNesem. Maitse Ovo Simin Lebanon. Well, Yaakov Avinu, his conduct is certainly, it's Chumash Bereishis, it's called the Sefer Yesharim. It's not just about Halach, and the fact there's very little Halach in Chumash Bereishis. Halach comes in Chumash Shemos, not in Torah. Chumash Bereishis represents the Midos of the Ovos, to imitate the Yesharim. And one of the Midos we learn from Yaakov Avinu in this parsha is to be mechake for Techiyas HaNesem. There's an in to be mechake for, to be mechake, to yearn for Mashiach. But there's another midah to emulate Yaakov, to yearn Shomar Es HaDavar, to yearn for Techiyas HaNesem. And that definitely is a way to cope with many of the difficulties that we experience in this world. When you have an emunah and a yearning for Techiyas HaNesem, to see the people that are no longer here, it completely changes your perspective and your thought process, your attitude towards life. This yearning for Mashiach and this yearning for Techiyas HaNesem. Okay, now here's a drush. This is not a pshat, but it's a little bit of a drush. It says in the beginning of the parasha, Yaakov Avinu was the ben zikunim. What does it mean he was the ben zikunim? Does it mean that he was the youngest? Can't be, because Binyamin was even younger. And the truth is, it can't mean that he was born in old age. Well, all of the Shvatim were born in old age. There was very little difference between the age of Yosef and the age of and all of the other brothers. They were all there very. So what does it mean over here, ben zikunim? So Rashi and the Targum, they will tell us that means that he was the cleverest, he was the wisest, or he had a physical resemblance. Rashi also later on alludes to the reason why he was ben zikunim was because everything that happened to, they shared the same mazel. Everything that happened to Yaakov Avinu would happen to Yosef. Yaakov was hated, Yosef was hated. Yaakov had to run away, Yaakov had to run away to Lavan, Yosef had to go and descend to Mitzrayim. B'chulu b'chulu, you have to make all different parallels. Rashi gives some of them. The thing, whatever happened to Yaakov happened to some degree to Yosef as well. Here's another example. Yaakov Avinu, when he calls Rachel and Leah to the field and says to them, you know, enough is enough. I had enough of your father, Lavan. He swindled me enough times. He says the words, ki ginuvasi yom uginuvasi laila. Ginuvasi yom uginuvasi laila. He says to his wife, I'm an honest man. I worked for your father for 20 years. And your father was Meshalem Raha Tachas Toiva. He switched my wages, he stole from me the akudim, brudim, tuludim, all of those things, and he used this expression, your father stole from me by day and he stole from me at night. Ginuvasi yom, ginuvasi loila. Yosef also used a very similar expression, ki gunov gunavti. When Yosef, at the end of the parsha, he's in the dungeon and he's with the Sar HaMashkim, the Sar HaOifim, and he tells them, listen, you're going to appear, he says to the Sar HaMashkim, you're going to be reinstated, kim zochor zechartani, remember me, don't forget to make a case on my behalf to Paro, and I've done nothing wrong, ki gunov gunafti. Here Chazal comment what exactly it means, the double expression, gunov gunafti. Chazal tell us, I was stolen from my father, and I was stolen from my brother. Now, what does this mean? First of all, my brothers got together, and they stole me. They stole me from my father. I was my father's chosen child. He gave me the Gesenis Pasim. I was the Ben Zakunim, and they took me away from my father. But when they took me away from my father, they put me in a pit. Reuven said, Al Tishpichu Dam. Yehuda said, "I'll two people participate in this salvation. Yehuda and Reuven."
Reuven said to throw him into the pit,
and Yehuda said, "Let's not kill him." They said, Yehuda, Reuven said, "Let's put a temporary stay. Let's just, in the meantime, put him in the pit." Laman had silo so, and Yehuda, in the meantime, said, "Let's not kill him. Let's sell him." Okay. What happened? Reuben, in the meantime, he went to do tshuva. It was his day. Reuben, he was doing tshuva continuously for the sin of being mabalbel, the mita of his father. He left. He comes back. And guess what? Yosef is no longer to be found. V'hayelid inin v'ani ona aniva. Yosef has been sold as a slave to Egypt. And he says to his brothers, "How dare you? You had no right to sell him without consulting with me. I'm part of the team." So Yosef, in fact, comments, "I was stolen doubly. Not only did all of the brothers together steal me from my father, 10 of the brothers stole me from the 11th brother. They illegally..." What?
Nine,
because Binyamin was not present. So 9 stole me, and he's the victim. So 9 stole me from 10. There were 10 brothers who took it upon themselves to decide what to do with my fate was in their hands, and 9 of them decided to do what they wanted without consulting with number 10. So I was stolen, and he was the Bukhar. Reuven is the Bukhar. You don't go do something without consulting with the oldest brother. So I was stolen from my father, and I was stolen from my brother. A double Geneva. Gokigonov Gunafti. Now I want to say the following suggestion, following Josh. Whatever happened to Yaakov happened to Yosef. Yaakov said about himself, "Ginuvasi yom, ginuvasi loyla." Same thing happened to Yaakov. Ki gonov gunafti. The only difference, Yosef, ki gonov gunafti. The only difference is when it comes to Yaakov Avinu, who used the word yom v'layla, he adds those two words in. And I don't know, I didn't look up the Midrashim what exactly it means yom v'layla, so let's leave that out. But he used the word day and night. And Yosef just makats and he just says ki gonov gunafti. But l'chor, we can make the suggestion as a parallel. When Yaakov Avinu was, when someone steals by day, it has a connotation. It's obvious. Yom is or. Daytime, the symbolism of yom is light. It's lichtik. It's light. It's obvious. Darkness means the unexpected. What Yosef was saying was, just like my father was robbed twice, I was robbed twice. Just like my father was robbed once by day and once by night, I was also robbed by day and by night. The day means my father. It's an obvious geneva. I'm the chosen child. I could have seen it coming. Basically, he's saying, this is a geneva that took place in daylight. Meaning, I should have realized, I should have seen it coming. I was the chosen. My father showered me with love. He made me the Kesenis Pasim. I revealed the dreams that I'm the best. My father taught me things he did not teach you. Chulu v'chulu. So what do you expect? That's what's going to happen to me. But the second geneva is something I never saw coming. Because that one group, that 9 brothers, would betray a 10th brother, that I never saw coming. That is what I consider to be ginuvasi loyla. I was stolen in the dark. Being stolen in the light is symbolic of meaning I could have seen it coming, because it's me against, it's my father, and all of you are not related. All of you are one step removed from our father, so you're jealous. But brothers are expected to have brotherly love, to be loyal to one another. I couldn't believe that even this team, all of you together, who plotted to cause me tsar and to sell me as a slave, would be unfaithful to one another. That is shocking. Well, to one, still, you're all part of a team. Brothers are brothers. Brothers don't fight. Brothers are not supposed to fight. Brothers are supposed to be united, right? They're supposed to be united. And this Yosef says, I never saw coming. Again, to review, to see myself being sold, being stolen from my father, ginuvasi yoim, parallels the yoim, but to be sold for my brothers, one group to betray the other, nine to betray number 10, that to me is kigunov gunafti, it's the second gneva, the gneva of Lila, I never saw it coming. What is the Musar Haskel for us? The Musar Haskel for us is, when you have brothers, you don't fight. Brothers, it's not natural. It's not natural that a group of brothers, one family among yourself, should betray one another.
Only by Chassidish
Rebbe. Only by Chassidish. Okay. So this is the drush. Okay. So review. He's the Ben Zakunim. Whatever happens to Yaakov, we establish the parallel. It's a drush. We establish the parallel. Whatever happens to Yaakov happens to Yosef. Therefore, we have the right to say Yaakov was stolen twice. Could be Chazal say this? Giluvasi Yom, Giluvasi Laila. That's the complaint he made to his two wives. Yosef also says Kigudov Gunafti. Chazal comment: what's the Gudov Gunafti? I was stolen from my father, and I was stolen from Reuven. Now we can just make an observation. These two are parallels. So the being stolen from the father is Yom. Being stolen from the brother Reuven is Lila. And the Musar Haskel is Yosef is saying, I never saw that coming. I saw coming the fact, the Yom, being stolen from my father. They would take revenge because my father was so kind to me. But I never, in my wildest dreams, would imagine that the nine brothers would agree to sell me as a slave to Egypt without first getting permission from Reuven, who put me in the bar, Leman Hatzil Oso Le'och Le'aviv, in order to bring him back to his father. And the Musar is that before a person has to have a minute to fight with a member of his family, he should realize even Yosef HaTzadik never saw this coming. He saw it coming, they would all get together to sell him, but not that one group of brothers would rebel, would betray their other brothers. Yes.
In the Shiv Na'al Drush.
Yeah.
Can you twist it around the other way and say, fuck here?
What do you mean?
Brother sells a brother, but to top it, to take from my father.
But it's Yom Valayla. Yom Valayla. Okay, so okay, I still know what I said, but yeah. If you want to use the Chaim there.
What you're saying has more dust, because there is a sheet of it. There's one story that why didn't Yosef come back, try to get back home and tell us, you know, to make himself, especially when he became the king, because he thought all this time, if his father, what crossed his mind perhaps, is that when his father sent him to look for his brothers, after his father had to know the relationship between Yosef and his brothers was not a cordial one, and that they hated him, why he would send them alone to look after his brothers. Maybe his father was in on the whole deal to get rid of him.
Okay, right. That's a discussion. That's a... Yeah.
It's not my thought process.
Your question.
Yes.
Soloveitchik talks about the question.
Which question?
Ravinsky's raising. And he says, frankly, it was illogical for Yaakov to send. But I put his Baruch Hu on it.
Right.
Okay. Okay, let's go to another idea. I saw this idea. I'm not sure where I saw. I think I saw this in the Shemana Tov. I think. Could be it's another Sefer. Vayeshev Yaakov Yeretz Migurei Oviv. Rashi, Yeretz Kanan, Rashi comments, Vayeshev in the middle of the long Rashi. Bikesh Yaakov Leishev B'Shalva. Yaakov wanted to live in peace. And, and it sprouted, it came upon him, the anger or the difficulty, the trouble of Yosef. What's the significance of now? All of a sudden now, Vayeshev Yaakov Be'eretz, all of a sudden now, Bikesh Yaakov Leishev B'Shalva, what happened now? So the answer is, in the previous parasha, Yaakov already went through the Gimel Abizrayu of the Gimel Averos Chamuros. In the previous parasha, Parashas Vayetze, Parashas Vayishlach, we have already three stories. Dina, the mice of Dina borders on Adizrayu of Gilei Arayos. Znos, someone rapes, someone abducts his daughter, Dina. We have the mice of Lavan. That really goes back to Parshas Vayetzeh. What happened with Lavan? Lavan wanted to, im Lavan garti, v'tayag mitzvah shamarti. Lavan, there's nothing Lavan wanted more than Yaakov Avinu to become an apikoros. Lavan was the expert on the trofim. The trofim is a form of avodah zarah. Nichosh, avodah zarah. Lavan was working day and night to cause Yaakov Avinu to go off the derech, to become an oivir avodah zarah. Yaakov Avinu, he spent 20 years, he was oimed in the nesoyon of avodah zarah. And now, in last week's parsha Vayishlach, he comes in contact with Esav. Esav wants to kill him. Ritzicha. He wants to wipe out Yaakov and his wife and his 12 children. He wants to kill them all. Vayishlach Yaakov Alachim, he prepared with a gift, with tefillah, with a mulchama, he prepared for everything. So Yaakov Avinu at this point in his life says, I've gone through 3 tekufas in my life. Lavan 20 years, avodah zarah, the nisoyon of avodah zarah. I've gone through the nisoyon of Esav trying to kill me. I ran away from him, I've come back, I made peace with him, we made a deal, leave me alone, you go to Seir, I'll see you later. I went through the nisoyon of shvichas tamim. Dina, I went through the nisayon of Gilui Arayos with my children. They want to intermarry with us. They struck up a deal. They schatenu itanu v'chulu v'chulu. What more? What more could there possibly be? Once already, I've mastered how to deal with these through the Gimel Averus Chamuros. The Beis Hamikdash, the Bayis Rishon, was destroyed for Avodah Zarah, Shvichas Tam Gili Arayis. Once already I've experienced the taste of the soil of dealing with the big three, what more could I have to do in this world? Vayeshev Yaakov Be'eretz Migui Avi Be'eretz Kanan. Now's the time I'm safe. I'm safe, I can go to Koilel, I can retire, and I can go to the morning Koilel, and I can learn. And what happened? Kovtsoy olov, rogzo shal yosef. There's another thing you have to watch out for. Sinas chinam. The Bayesheni was destroyed not for the Gimel Averus Chamuros, the Bayesheni was destroyed for sinas chinam. Yosef and the brothers are at each other's throats. Vayove Yosef es dibosom ro el avihem, the brothers sell Yosef, and now we have a whole new period, a whole new era dealing with sinas chinam. That's the Musar Haskel. Just because we got to the Churban Bayis Rishon, and the Golus came to an end after 70 years, and we rebuilt the Bayis Sheni, we had to deal with the chait that destroyed the Bayis Sheni, the chait of sinas chinam. Because they were the victims. The koyach of persuasion. The koyach of persuasion. Ma'isim b'chol yom. Ma'isim b'chol yom. I know someone in a group. This someone I know personally in an organization where the person who was the president, whoever he was, maybe the chairman of the board, where he worked very hard to get a person onto the board. There was a fellow in this group, chairman of the board. He worked very hard to among the people that they should allow this person also to be a member of the board with all the privileges. And that person ended up voting to get rid of the chairman of the board. And this is what I know personally, but it's ma'asim b'chol yom. Ma'asim b'chol yom. Like a chutzpah. The only reason why you even have the power to vote is because of the chesed drive that I went way out for you. And you go and you vote to throw me out? What kind of chutzpah is that? I just know personally, so I have an appreciation for this. But that's not the kasha. Like we began, the Rashbam leaves the Hagdama for Parshas Vayeshev. Everything in this parsha is illogical. Yeah.
Two questions. Why did Yaakov feel in essence what's going on? Why did he allow it to fester? Second question, was it really that of the loss of a son that was a major, or I know it was the cause may have been a sense fear, but the end result was his perceived loss of a son. Was that the ultimate, the fourth point in the parsha?
Both together. They're ayin, pan, and mutar. Everything comes together. First of all, Yaakov Avinu, he did try to quiet them down. He says, Yaakov Avinu, he tried to calm him down. This tell him, this is not a mahalik what you're doing. Okay, so you're asking good questions that need to be answered. But before the they work with this the best that they can. Okay, let's go to another idea. Yaakov Avinu receives a report that they bring him the garment, they bring him his kesoin, his pasim, it's dipped in blood. He sees it, vayakira, vayomer, kesoin espini, toreif taraf Yosef. And he makes the statement, Yaakov Avinu says, this indeed is the kesoin his pasim. I see that it's soaked in blood. He was led to believe that the blood was the blood of his son Yosef. He's been ripped apart, he's been killed. He's been killed by a wild animal. Taraif Taraf Yosef. And Yaakov Avinu then begins to mourn. Vayisabel Albanov Yomim Rabim. Vayikra Yaakov Simla Yisav. Vayosem Sak Bimosna. Vayisabel Albano Yomim Rabim. Pasuk goes on to say, Vayikumu Kol Vanov Vachol Benayisav Lenachamo. They tried their hardest to comfort Yaakov Avinu. And this was the plan. You have to remember, the Shiftei Kah, they sincerely believed that Yosef was Chayiv Misa. And they thought that they did with him the ultimate chesed by not killing him. This is how they were thinking. He was a Moireid B'malchus. He was troubled. Just like Avraham had a Yishmael, Yitzchak had an Esav, Yaakov has Pselus also. Yaakov also has someone in the family that's not 100%. And therefore, he has to be neutralized. Right? What? Because he spoke Lashon Hara, he conducted himself with arrogance. He behaved like the Bukhar. He behaved like the Bukhar. This was their thought process. I don't know exactly, but this was they sincerely believed that he was the Pesoiles of Yaakov Avinu.
So it's not Sinus Kingdom is really good.
It's if they would have taken themselves. Well, no, there is Sinasim because if the brothers would have inspected their.
Includes Yosef because he was punished for by Yosef as the son of.
If they would have examined their hearts under a microscope, they would have realized that it's not because he's a word of Malchus, it's because of Sinas. They were jealous. It doesn't the pasuk. They hated him, they were jealous of him, we'll come to a little bit later on. But there was, Chazal tell us, there was Sinas Chinam, they didn't even realize. That's the nature of Sinas Chinam. You don't even realize that Sinas Chinam, you have excuses. But it's not an excuse, it's nothing more than Sinas Chinam. So the question over here is, they knew what they were doing. They knew when they would tell their father that his chosen child has died, he would be in enormous pain. They knew this. They weren't foolish. But they figured, listen, he'll mourn. Mourning doesn't last more than 30 days for a son. No, and you pick up the pieces and you go weiter, and he'll forget about it. Yaakov Avinu. But where they made a mistake was, Vayimoin lehisnachem. Yaakov Avinu refused. Their plan failed. They were willing to deal with causing their father pain for 30 days. That was part of the calculation. They felt it was their duty to eliminate this threat at the expense of their father having tzar, but the tzar is not forever. The tzar is for 30 days. Yaakov Avinu is a very great maimon. He has a lot of faith in HaKadosh Baruch Hu, will take it, will accept it, and will go forward. They did not expect his father to refuse comfort.
There's no closure.
Why is there no closure?
Wasn't 100% sure.
Taraif Taraf Yosef. It was as good as can be. Yeah. The garment, the kesoin espasim, was soaked in blood. What more do you want? The amount of blood on the garment was dam hanefesh. No human being. You bring it to the best scientist, they'll tell you the amount of blood we find in the garment is. It's not possible for the person to survive with the loss of that amount of blood. Okay, so that's indeed what Chazal say. Chazal say that this is a mystical concept. There's a concept. that there's a gezeira min hashemayim that a mace is nishtakach min alev la'achar yud beis chodesh, which itself is very complicated, which is not clear what that means, because we know today that it's not necessarily true. People have lost parents, have lost relatives, people lose a child, they will never ever have comfort. It goes on forever. Okay, so that's a question what it means exactly, but because certainly in the situation where the person is still alive, so there's some supernatural connection between the father and the son, and therefore Yaakov Avinu, he refused to find comfort. But you have to ask the question, didn't they know this? They knew that there's a supernatural connection. They knew all of these things. Yet they were confident. They were confident that they would be able to provide their father, Yaakov Avinu, with comfort. He would be able to go forward and forget about the loss of Yosef. But it didn't happen. Where exactly did they go wrong? They seemingly had a bulletproof plan. Where exactly did they go wrong? No, let's assume that's not the problem. Let's assume that they were covered. They were covered. Where exactly did they go wrong? So I saw an idea. This is not what I saw. I'm drawing upon something that I saw. I don't remember where I saw this. Anyway, it's not exactly what it says there, but this is the idea I want to present. The failure in their plan was the word, one word. Vayakumu, they stood up kol banav kol benosav lenachamo. They stood up to provide comfort. What do you mean they stood up? They're brothers. They should have also been in a state of mourning. They also should have sat shiva. Why didn't the brothers sit shiva? So obviously they did sit shiva. You can't. If the brother of Yaakov was sitting shiva, they sat shiva. But the Torah does not record that they sat shiva. The Torah records they sat shiva, but during the shiva and during the year, during these 17 years, they stood and they said, "Father, let's do something to lighten the mood. Let's go on." They did not mourn together with. They did not mourn with the same degree of as their father, and that was their mistake. Misery loves company. If the pasuk would have said Vayeshu chol bono v'chol benoisaf lehis abel, and Yaakov Avinu would have seen that the brothers were mourning sincerely over the death, the loss of their brother, misery loves company. That Tzoras Rabin Chatzi Nechama. Exactly. They couldn't bring themselves. That's exactly the point. At least they couldn't fake it. It's exactly the point. Their failure was to properly mourn. If they would have mourned together with their father would have sensed, have had comfort. Tzoras Rabin Chatzi Nechama. The greatest thing you can do when you go to be Menachem Avol and go to be Menachem Avol is not to stand with arrogance and say, "Don't feel bad." Kachi Darka Shaloylam is Imoy Anochi Bitzara. I suffer with you. I mourn with you. That is the greatest form of comfort you can give a mourner. Not to say eloquent words and to bring food platters and put in ads in the New York Times or in any other of the news that's not fit to print. The best thing you can do to give comfort to a person who is mourning is to commiserate with them, to show empathy, to mourn along with them.
Doesn't
say that anywhere. It doesn't say that. Yaakov could very well have believed that he died. And the brothers they were indifferent. Listen, he died. They got over it. A brother is a brother. A father is a father. It's a different relationship. A father, there's no question that a father mourns for a child infinitely more than a brother mourns for a brother. One mourns for a brother. That's a fact.
Not to give the whole thing, but in the Lamed Nisan, what he says is it's so clear about this whole thing. In other words, not to dispute anything he said, because that's part of it. But the reality was, what do you mean that he put down the Ksonas Pasim? If he was Tarof Tarap Yosef, Why was the begging in one piece? Why did the lion say, you know what? I'm hungry. Take off your jacket. I don't feel like eating a piece of wool or silk.
It must have been presented.
It stinks the whole case.
It must have been presented.
You've been watching too many crime shows.
It's not me. It's Rabbi Galileo Denisov.
Okay, good.
So something doesn't... Something's not right with the story. So by my list, not hey. It doesn't make sense.
Okay, but okay, the point we want to make is there is one critical word. Okay, the critical word in their failure is not the supernatural. Chazal tell us the supernatural connection. A person really is alive. The gzeir min hashamayim doesn't go away. You're always gonna mourn. Okay, that's true, but let's put that aside for the moment. Al derech pshat. Forget about going into the supernatural. Al derech pshat. Why did Yaakov refuse to receive comfort? Where did they go wrong? It's one word. Vayakumu. You, Father, you sit on the floor. We'll stand. We're on top of you. We don't have a problem with this. Everything is fine and good. We got over it. We did ours. 30 days have passed. It's time to move forward. We don't have the same. We're not mishtatef in your tzar. The Musar Haskel of this Vard is that Rachmana Litzlan, when you see a person in the eighth tzara, forget about the food platter. It's also good to send the food platter.
Somebody, why do you expect them to sit in comfort with you?
To mourn with you.
But they didn't mourn his loss.
What? Well, that was their failure. That was their mistake. If they wanted to pull it off, if they wanted to pull off their plan, they should have made believe they're really mourning. So maybe they couldn't pull it off. And maybe that's really what the Pasuk is saying. Maybe they tried. Maybe the earlier that's what the Pasuk is saying. The Pasuk is super magnifying teeny little things. It could very well be they sat, they made believe, but Yaakov in his mind, he sensed, and from his perspective, he may be sitting on the floor lower than me, but in my mind, Vayakumu, I only see you standing on top of me because I see that you're not mourning the same degree that I'm mourning. The Musar Haskel is the true way to show, to give comfort to a person who is in a state of tsar, whether it's an illness, whether it's a loss of someone who leaves this world, or whether it's any miserable situation, is to say to them, Imoi Anochi Bitsara, your pain is my pain. To show that, to make that real. That, and everything else is meaningless. All the fancy, nice, eloquent words and food platters and all of the public displays really don't hit home with the person. Comfort comes, Tsaras Rabim, Chatzi Nechama. It's hidden in the word Vayakumu, Memela Vayimoin Lehisnachem. Yeah.
Mamichavin to a minute from Yankov Kamnetsky Zatzal. I heard it, I saw it, not for him. He was Menachem Avel in a sitting position.
He sat down on the floor with him.
Down on the floor.
But
everybody mistake, everybody ready to leave, everybody stands up.
The Rambam says Beferish. It says Beferish that you're supposed to say Hamokim Menachem Eschem when you're sitting. That's what it says Beferish in the Rambam. Rabbi Reisman always talks about this. Rabbi Reisman, he always talks about it. It says, I think it says either in the Rambam or it says Shochnat, that when you say Hamokim Menachem Eschem, you're supposed to be sitting. Mm-hmm. You're not supposed to stand up. The Oilam, the Minach Oilam is to stand up.
Right.
Yeah, right.
Seemingly the reason why is because you have to draw attention.
On the way out.
Okay, the minhag olam is to stand. You can't go and knock the minhag.
Getting up to leave.
But you're supposed to be menachem when you're in a sitting position.
Yeah, I saw this mitzvah when Rabbi Kamnetsky from out there, South Shore someplace, came to Menachem Oval. I waited after the sea, and sure enough, the whole mishpacha. Okay.
But it's more than just sitting. It's let me sit with you.
Yeah,
I'm coming to be Menachem. I'm going to sit with you. Exactly. Okay, let's go to another idea. Yeah. They didn't have scientific forensic testing laboratories. They didn't have crime scene investigation laboratories to test the blood. It's this animal, that animal didn't exist. That show is still on. CSI, it's still going?
The advice.
This is like 10 years ago, right? It was the most popular thing years ago, right?
Yes.
What?
I know that. Ezra, by my yes.
I never watched that.
Okay, it was too gory. I once saw it. It's too gory for me. Okay, let's go fight that. Let's go fight that. Let's go. Let's go to now. Here's just a ha'ara, a short ha'ara, a comment on a vart from the Gra. In the mice of Eishes Petifar, if you read the psukim, the story, she tried to persuade him twice. It says that this is, if we read the psukim, let me find the psukim. Okay, Vayihi first, the beginning of the Aliyah, right? The Aliyah begins. Vayihi achar hadavar levatisa eishes adinaves einecha el yosef vatoymer shichva imi. The magic words. She's toveya shichva imi. And right away we have this very dramatic word, vayimoein. Ashal sheles, the balkore vayimoein. He refused with all of his might. Shal sheles. Vayomer, and he says, and he has a conversation with her. He refuses. Vayomer el eishes adonav hein adoni lo yodaiti malabois v'chol asher yeshlo nosan biyodi v'chul einin gudobi. He has a whole discussion with her. He's sitting there at the table. Obviously, there's no one home. Obviously, how could she say to him shichva imi in public? Cannot possibly be. It has to be. There's no one around. Everyone's outside. They're all alone. There's Yichud. She says to him, "Vashichva imi." No one's going to catch us. There's no cameras. No one's watching. And he sits with her for an hour and has a conversation. Mm-hmm. I can't do this. It's not right. There's a Ribbono Shel Olam. He gives her a religious talk. He says, "Also, it's Hakar Tzatoif, your master. He trusted me. It's not right." No emergency. No problem. Fast forward a few psukim later, Vayihi ki hayom hazeh, it was on this fateful day, Vayavo habayis lasos melachto, v'ein yishmean shehabayis hashava. Now this is the same thing. You have to say that there's really nothing different than what's happening now. We just happen to mention there's no one home. V'tispeseh b'vigdo, leymar. She grabs him. She didn't grab him before. Read the Midrashim. She did a lot of things to him before. She also grabbed him. But here in the positive record that she grabbed him. And nochamol, the same exact thing. Shichva imi. The same exact two words. The same exact two words. Vayazoiv. And here, all of a sudden, there's no conversation. Here it's red alert. The world is coming to an end. Drama. Vayazoiv bigdoi biyadov vayonos vayetze hachutza. Emergency, as if nuclear contamination. What's going on? Why the first time when she had the conversation, she had the same exact word, shichva imi, he has a conversation, and the second time, he runs away, pikuach nefesh. Okay, so I want to tell you a var from the Gra. The Gra has nothing to do with this observation, but I think the two are related. The Gra says, what's the difference between the first time and the second time? The difference is the first time, before she says the word shechva imi, it doesn't say anything. It just says, and she says, shechva imi. She says shechva imi. The second time it says vatispesel bevigdo leimor. There's an additional word leimor shechva imi. So the Gra, this is Vilna Gaon. This is not Chassidus Shavar. Vilna Gaon says this. The second time she already knew Eishes Potifar that he's not going to agree. She knows he's a tzaddik. He's not. So all I ask from you is, I want you, Yosef, just to say the words. Look at me in the eye and say to me the words, shechva imi. That will give me so much pleasure. It'll be even more than. It'll be even greater than actually doing an avera. She demanded. She grabbed him by his garments and she said, I don't want to touch you. I don't want you to touch me. I don't want anything to happen. I just want to have the satisfaction of hearing you say to me the words, Lamar, say the words, Shechva imi. That's what the Gra says. Okay, so the first time is when she said it to him. the first beginning of Aliyah, she said to Yosef, Shichva'imi. The second time is when she demanded Yosef that he say the words, Shichva'imi, but not Chas V'Shalom to do an Avera. I already heard the speech before. You already gave me, I already sat and heard the speech, how terrible it is to do this Avera. Yet, so what would we expect? If we were writing the Chumash, we would expect that when a woman comes to Yosef and says to Yosef, Yosef, listen, there are cameras, everyone is watching, but there's no audio. There's no audio. It's just, so no one knows, no one's going to be able to read our lips, because I'll cover your mouth. I just want to have the satisfaction of you saying the words, Shechva'imi. So, what would Yosef say? It's not right. It's not an emergency. There are cameras. Nothing's going to happen. Mm-hmm. It's just a matter of words. There is where we would expect Yosef to deliver a sermon that it's not ethical, it's not the right thing to do, for all the various reasons. But when a woman comes to Yosef, and there's no one watching, and there are no cameras, and there's nothing, and she says, let's do it for real, we would expect that would be the time for Yosef to sound the alarm and run, and not worry about the consequences. Vayonas vayetze hachutza. Yet it's just the opposite. It's just the opposite. When the woman demands the Avera, he gives her a speech. And when she says, I don't want to do the Avera, I just want some dirty talk, I want you to say the word Shechva, I should have the satisfaction. That is where the real emergency was. That's an incredible Musar Haskel, especially for this generation. Because in this generation, you don't have to do with the Avera. You don't have to do with the Avera. You can go online. You can there's what to watch. There's what to listen to. There's what to see. There is the hear her avera. Saying the word shechva imi is not. It's just dibur. Stimulates the mind. It stimulates the mind a little bit. Doesn't actually. You're not doing a ma'isa avera at all. Person can completely control his body. But a little stimulation to watch a movie, to watch a television show. But where does the Torah record the real emergency? The real emergency is in the hirhur, is in the stimulation. Mm-hmm. And Chazal indeed say, hir avera is kosher, is worse than the actual avera. It completely changes when a person gets used to this type of culture, this type of environment, this type of stimulation. It completely changes your outlook, your senses, your hashkafa, the way you view life. That's where the real danger is. Many people would never imagine themselves doing a real Avera. It's never going to happen to them. But when it comes to the here Avera, you know, what's the big deal? So you watch a little television, watch a little movie here and there. What's the big deal? You know, a little relaxation. But you see from this shot from the Gra, the difference between Lamar and the Avera itself, where the real emergency is to be found. Okay? This is, I think, a very, you say this to Gevart, it's a scary Vart. Okay, when Yaakov, Yosef Avinu, almost out of time, when Yosef, he left Yaakov Avinu. What was the last thing Yaakov Avinu taught Yosef?
Egla Arufa.
And he escorted him, and in fact it says that Yaakov Avinu, he escorted him to Dos, Emek Hevron, he escorted him a few steps. He said to his father, Father, why are you escorting me? So he says, there's going to be the mitzvah of Egla Rufa. And Egla Rufa is because the person you failed to escort to be Malave, your guest. Therefore, I have an obligation to escort your guest. So I heard yesterday, in the name of Rav, of Simcha Sheps, Rashiv and Tar Vadas, one of the Rashivs and Tar Vadas, his son-in-law lives over here on 19th Street, right around the corner. And Rav Simcha Sheps says, why Dafka was Yaakov Avinu teaching Yosef the mitzvah of egg? Besides the Pashim Shat, he was telling him something very important. Yaakov Avinu saw that Yosef would one day be the Melech. Yaakov Avinu, al Piruach HaKodesh, he knew that Yosef was destined for great things, and that's why he made for him the Kesenes Pasim. He taught him, he gave over to Yosef the Mesorah that he received from his father Avraham and Yitzchak, from Shem, going all the way back. He saw that Yosef was destined for greatness, and he was teaching him.
He was the dreamer.
The dreamer. Everyone is bowing down to me.
So Yaakov had the dreams.
had the dreams. And Yosef also, he had the dreams. Everyone is bowing down to me. So he was teaching him, if you're a melech, I want to teach you an important lesson. A melech, the biggest yetzahara a melech has is to ignore the individual and to focus on the rabbin. You see this very often. The melech, his goal is the tzibur, the community. What about the yochid, the individual? The essence of Egel Arufa is the importance of the individual. A single person is a guest. He's leaving your home. You're busy. You have to take care of your family. Why should I go through the effort of escorting an individual a few steps out of the town when I have more important things to do? When we bring an Egel Arufa to be mechaper, we make a statement, Yodin Lashavchis Adam Hazeh, we did not let the individual leave without food, shelter, escort. The essence of Egel Arufa is to remember that the individual also has needs. Don't focus only on the tzibur and ignore the individual. This, you know, you see the difference between people who are successful, not successful. There's a very big nesar and different Rashi Yeshivas. The klal, the busy with the klal Yisrael. Besides the klal Yisrael, there's also the yochid, the prat. The prat is essential. The greatness of leadership, Yaakov Avinu is teaching his child is to teach him to focus on the yochid. Okay, to conclude with the word for Chanukah. Let's look at the word for Chanukah. For Chanukah we have Vayehi ki hayoyim hazeh. The mice of Eshes Patifar begins with the word, it was ki hayoyim hazeh. The Dorshe Rishimais, those who look for secrets in the Torah, find that this is an allusion to Chanukah. The word Ki Hayom is Vayi Chof Heyom. It was on the 25th day. The 25th day of the month of Kislev is Chanukah. So this event alludes to Chanukah. What happened here and what happened here? Yosef, Chazal, tell us, Rashi quotes this, Chazal was about to give in to his Yetzirah and be nichshol in the sin of Eshes Potiphar. At the very last moment, Rashi says that the demus of Yaakov Avinu appeared to him in the window and spoke to him and said, Yaakov, and said to him, Yosef, if you are going to sin, do you realize what you're going to lose? Your name will no longer appear on the Cheshen, it will no longer appear on the Ephite, Zuntite. You're going to lose such incredible bracha. Be mechazik yourself. Don't sin. Don't stumble at this moment in time. This was enough to be mechazik Yosef, and he was oimed in the Nesoyim Vayonas Vayetzi HaChutza. This all begins with Vayihi Ki Hayom Chof Heyom. Yaakov Avinu, Chazal tell us, died on the first day of Sukkos, according to one opinion. How long did the Mitzrayim mourn for Yaakov Avinu? 70 days. 70 days from the first day of Sukkos comes out on the 25th day of Chanukah. There are 70 days from the first day of Kislev, which is the first day of Chanukah. There are exactly 70 days. We are now, when we come to Chanukah, we are 70 days away from Sukkot. The last time we got inspiration to keep us going is the Yom Tov of Sukkot. Every Yom Tov is a recharge, a spiritual recharge. Pesach, Shavuos, Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur, Sukkot. Sukkot is a spiritual recharge. But the recharge, it wears off. What is the zman of the zman of wearing off? Everything comes to an end. Yaakov Avinu, the Yom Tov of Sukkos is associated with Yaakov Avinu. Ulemiknehu asa Sukkos. The Yom Tov of Sukkos is Yaakov Avinu. Yaakov, after his petira, he lingered on in this world for 70 days. They embalmed him. And they mourned him for 70 days. He lingered on 70 days. Since Sukkos is the Yom Tov of Yaakov Avinu, the Yom Tov of Sukkos lingers on for 70 days. And then we become weak. And we look outside. And it's dark. It's Golus. The nights are very long. We're in a time of the year where the influence of Sukkos has worn off. And we are vulnerable to the forces of the Yetzer Hara. And then Hashem has given us the gift we look in the window, Bizman Hazeh, where do we put the Hanukkah menorah? The Mishnah Berurah says, even though it says in the Gemara that you're supposed to put the menorah on the door, on the right side of the door, that's true in Eretz Yisrael, but in Golos, the Minhag from the Magen Avraham is to put the menorah in the Chaloin, in the window. We look in the window and we see the neros. Haneros, halalu, kodeshem. Those neros, that we look at those neros, that is equivalent to Yosef HaTzadik looking in the window and seeing the demus tiyukno of Yaakov Avinu saying, Yosef, be mechazik yourself. I know you've been away from home for a long time. It's difficult. Paiteishas paitifar is harassing you. The nesoin is very great. Be mechazik yourself. Even though you've been away from home for a long time, be mechazik yourself. This is exactly what's happening on Hanukkah. We are reliving history. On Hanukkah, we have been away from the influence of the Kedushas of Yom Tov for 70 days. Since the beginning of Sukkot. 70 days. 70 days is Sukkot is Yaakov. 70 days later, just like Yosef looked in the window and saw the demus tiyukno of Yaakov Avinu, we also look in the window and what do we see? Haneros halalu kodeshem, some lichtekeit in the dark galus, some influence, some chizuk to support ourselves, to light ourselves in kedusha, to be able to be oimed in the nesiyonos of the generation. Have a wonderful Shabbos. Shabbos Bevorachim.